I want you to picture that scene that we've just read about. The Lord Jesus, the very Son of God, is now entering, many of you know, the last chapter of his mission. He has now set his face towards Jerusalem, as the gospel writer Luke put it, and all that goes along with that. And he's now entering the most intense period of his ministry. And by this stage, a great multitude, the text tells us, a great multitude were following him. As he's determined to go to Jerusalem, his disciples are behind him. Remember, last week we heard that he was leading the way towards Jerusalem. The disciples are behind him, scared. And yet there's this great multitude as well. And then you have this man in the midst of all that crying out to Jesus. And crying out again. And perhaps if you look at the other Gospels, he's been doing it for some time. Who is this man? Is he someone prominent from Jericho that you could forgive him shouting out towards Jesus? Is he someone who's upstanding in the community of Jericho that must be heard? Well, he's simply described in the Bible as blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. He's not a prominent figure in society. He's not someone in the eyes of the world that deserves to be heard. This man is reduced to begging for his life. He's hardly someone that a great leader has the time to listen to. So picture that scene. What would you expect if it wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ? Imagine it's another prominent leader with a great following. What would you expect them to do? Well, you would expect him to walk past, wouldn't you? He would be described as a distraction or a waste of time, not to be worthy of stopping for. But what does the Lord Jesus Christ do? Does he brush this needy man off? Well, the Bible tells us that he stopped. Verse 49, stopped and commanded that he be brought, this needy man, to him. And then he goes on to heal him, of course. How lovely is that, and how different to the leaders of the world. The Lord is so compassionate, isn't it? This is what we've been singing. We heard a little of that this morning. That the Lord is different from any king that has ever lived and will ever live. He is compassionate. He has time in the midst of his mission to stop for this needy individual. And so we'll learn tonight a little bit more about the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll also learn from blind Bartimaeus. What can we learn from him? Well, believe it or not, even though he was blind physically, he sees more of Jesus than those who could see Jesus perfectly well. He recognizes something in Jesus that those who could see Jesus physically couldn't see, and many in our own day cannot see. The blind man can teach us something this evening. He can teach us to see more of Jesus. And so I want to consider these things under two headings this evening. First of all, the Son of David is recognized. And then secondly, the Son of David shows mercy. So first of all, the Son of David is recognized. I mentioned that blind Bartimaeus is going to teach us something this evening, something that perhaps we haven't seen ourselves or fully appreciated. What do I mean by that? Well, blind Bartimaeus cries out something very specific. Did you see that? In verse 47, he says something very specific. He doesn't just call out Jesus. In verse 47 and verse 48, he says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And he says that again in verse 48. Son of David. Why does he say that particular phrase? And why is it so significant? Well, it's extremely significant. Perhaps this statement will go over the heads of those back then who weren't familiar with the Old Testament scriptures. And perhaps in our own day, where there's biblical illiteracy, effectively, these things won't mean anything to those who hear it and perhaps read these things in scripture. But this title that blind Bartimaeus gives Jesus is extremely significant. Son of David. When blind Bartimaeus called Jesus the Son of David, anyone who was familiar with the Old Testament scriptures would realize that blind Bartimaeus was declaring this Jesus to be the Messiah, the Christ who was promised to come from the line of King David. Let me explain. Those that knew the Old Testament scriptures would have known that God had promised that the Messiah, or sometimes called the Christ, would come from David's family tree, as it were. God promised in 2 Samuel chapter 7 in the Old Testament that when King David had died, God would set up a seed after David who would establish his kingdom forever. Anyone familiar with the Old Testament scriptures would know that. They would have known that the promise that God made to King David is also developed in other Old Testament passages. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 9, this is a passage that's often read out in Christmas services. What does it say? Chapter 9, verse 6. That the Messiah, this promised one, quote, will reign on David's throne. David, by this point, is dead. And over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and forevermore. A few more. Jeremiah chapter 23. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. God had made this promise to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. It was developed by the prophets. And so anyone even acquainted with the Old Testament scriptures or in that atmosphere of these events would be very keenly aware that when Bartimaeus said, "This is the Son of David," something significant was being said. Back then, there was an eager expectation for the Son of David to come. It's hard for us to understand that now because we're so, as a society, biblically illiterate. We're far removed from this context. And yet the promises still remain. This is why we can explain events in other Gospels when Jesus does something, or even John the Baptist does something spectacular, or teaches with such authority that people ask this question. For instance, in Matthew 12, could this be the Son of David? You see, there's this anticipation for the Son of David to come that just isn't present, I believe, in our own day. And so back then, when Bartimaeus calls Jesus the Son of David, he is saying something extremely significant. Bartimaeus is declaring Jesus to be the promised Messiah, the Christ. And I want to say, isn't it a great irony that blind Bartimaeus can see more of Jesus than many of the people back then, than many of the people of our own day. He could see Jesus more clearly than our own day and many of those back then. He had not seen any of Jesus' miracles. He was blind. But he'd either heard Jesus preaching, we don't know, or had heard a report of Jesus, and that was enough. That was enough for Bartimaeus to believe that Jesus was the Son of David. You see how wrong that is for our own day. They demand to see, and then I will believe. How often have you heard that? Show me something and I will believe. But the scripture says, hear and believe. And so blind Bartimaeus, even though he hasn't seen physically the Lord Jesus Christ, knows, it has been revealed to him, that Jesus is the Son of David. And so he cries out, knowing a little of the prophecies about the Son of David, he cries out, Son of David, have mercy on me. He's not content to praise Jesus. He desires to receive aid or help from this great Son of David. And so secondly, we'll see that this Son of David shows mercy. He shows mercy to this needy man. Remember, he's sitting by the road begging. He's needy. He's got nothing to offer Jesus in himself. And yet Jesus, in the midst of his busy ministry, in the final chapter of his intense mission, has time for this needy individual. What does he do? He stops. He stops. You can picture that, can you? A great crowd with Jesus at the front. He stops. Perhaps you've seen that in movies or read in a book, the drama of that he just stops. Someone in great authority stopping for, again, who is this? A great noble of Jericho? Is it someone that should be listened to, that somehow Jesus has missed over in the city of Jericho? No, it's blind Bartimaeus, this needy individual. And so it says in the text that he commands Bartimaeus to be brought or called to him. And so Bartimaeus comes, throws off his cloak, and then Jesus asks him, verse 51, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? It should be the other way around, shouldn't it? Jesus is the Son of God. And yet he's asking blind Bartimaeus, this needy man, what do you want me to do for you? And this is just what we already know about the Lord Jesus Christ, demonstrating that he is the one, as we heard last week, who came not to be served, but to serve, as it says in the previous chapter. And so the Lord Jesus Christ has mercy upon this needy man. He's just full of compassion. This is what Matthew, in the parallel account of this text, says, that he has compassion on this needy, blind man. And how typical is this of the Lord Jesus Christ? How many times have we heard in Mark's gospel of the compassion that the Lord has had on individuals? I'll not talk about them all, but right back in Mark chapter 1, we read of his compassion on the leper, which Peter read this morning. We heard of his compassion on the demon-possessed man. Do you remember Legion, full of demons? It says that he had compassion on him. Or about the boy that was being tossed around, tortured by the demon within. It says that he had compassion on him. Then there was the crowd that had begun to follow him. It said that he had compassion on them because they had no food, or that they had no shepherd, and so he had compassion on them. You see, right the way through this gospel, Mark is saying that Jesus, the Lord of glory, is the compassionate Messiah. Compassion, compassion, compassion. This is what Mark is presenting by the Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, as one who has had compassion on the needy. And he's doing it again as we read this evening. But are these things a coincidence? Well, Jesus, in doing these things, is fulfilling prophecy all the time. Psalm 72, which is written by David's son Solomon. Already he's looking beyond himself. It's not me, he's saying. The first son of David, first in preeminence. He's saying, don't look to me, but look to the other David that's going to come. And he says, that David will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. Jesus is here in these events, is fulfilling that psalm. He's saying, I am the greater David, the Messiah, the Christ, the one that's coming in David's line. It's no coincidence that these things are happening. And even when Bartimaeus was healed of his blindness, whether he knew it or not, he was also being part of a fulfillment of prophecy about the promised Messiah. When Jesus gave Bartimaeus his sight, he was fulfilling a prophecy of Isaiah 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. This is what Isaiah says hundreds of years earlier. He goes on to say, then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then they will leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Isaiah will go on in chapter 42 and write these things. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. We've been saying this over the last few weeks. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. Isaiah goes on to say, he will open blind eyes. You see, Jesus, in these things, is not just helping Bartimaeus, he is, but he's showing himself to be the promised Messiah, the one that would give sight to the blind and bring in that new kingdom that we've been hearing about in Mark. And so I want to conclude this evening by asking you a question. Do you believe? Do you believe? Blind Bartimaeus recognized the Messiah. And yet so many people at that time did not. And we'll see that in days to come. Many of our own day do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior. They say, let me see and I will believe. But Bartimaeus gives us the way to believe. And that's through hearing. He heard of the report of Jesus Christ. He didn't see a single miracle before he knew already, or rather it was given to him, that Jesus was the Messiah. He believed the report of Jesus Christ and believed in that report through hearing, not seeing. So tonight I want you to be like blind Bartimaeus in the way that he saw Jesus by faith. If you've not done that, don't give up. Did you notice in the passage the enthusiasm of Bartimaeus? Nothing was going to stop him finding the Lord Jesus Christ. The crowd tried to stop him. Be quiet. Jesus doesn't want to hear you. And if you're searching Jesus Christ today, the crowd will stop you. They'll try to. Don't let anything or anyone get in your way of finding Jesus Christ. Be like Bart the mess and cry out all the more, have mercy on me, O God. Call on him. And the Bible tells us that if we call on him, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And then many of us here this evening will testify that when we have done that, we will know that we have the most compassionate King that cares for us, whose compassions fail not. Amen.